Hello, and welcome to Queer Love Forever, the podcast where I give you advice whether you ask for it or not. And if not, at least food for thought on queer relationships, love, connection, and community. I'm Kim, I'm the queer matchmaker, and I have received so many questions from you. My. For a while, everyone was either feeling very shy or just not in need of advice at all. But it's like the floodgates have opened, and I have lots of questions to answer. So, if you would like to submit a question, you can do so anonymously via the link in my link tree, which will be in the show notes. It says, you just like scroll down the link tree, and it says free love advice form. And it takes you to a Google form where you can write text or upload a voice recording if you'd prefer. And it's anonymous. I can't see the details of the person who has submitted it. You can put your name if you want, but it can be anonymous. So if you would like some love advice, please do so. Some of the questions that were asked were more about me, like questions about me. So I'll use those to give you an update on how I've been doing. I really hope the audio is okay. It was sounding a little bit strange when I was testing it, but I think it's fixed. You can let me know. And anyone who knows anything about audio or producing podcasts, please help me. Right. So here we go with some questions. So the questions that I got quite a lot. It seems that some of you are a bit worried about me. I got, how are you feeling today? Is everything okay? Are you okay? Quite a lot. And thank you for your concern. As you may have gleaned from the last episode, or the last few episodes, and the big gap between the last episode and this one, I have been going through it. I've been going through a breakup and have not really been okay. Well, it's all relative, isn't it? I live with my sister and I have lovely friends all around me and community. So I've been well supported and loved and cared for and all that, but I have been deeply sad, and that's just how it has to be for a while when an important connection ends or changes. Adjusting to that is just a process that involves a lot of sadness. And I've been doing a lot of realizing things, as Kylie would say. I'm working on a podcast about breakups. And you will be getting the rejection playlist as well. Written a rejection playlist podcast as promised, but it's quite hard to do that work without lots of feelings happening all the time. And I do still have to get on with the day. So when it's all a bit less intense, I will record those podcasts and pass on my learnings to you. Wisdom is a wonderful silver lining. Love to be wise from sad experiences. So yeah, I'm okay, just sad and destabilized, but I'll be okay. If you see me out and about at an event or something, please be gentle with me, but definitely don't ask me about it. Okay, so what else have people asked? I'll do two more questions about me and then I'll move on to some love advice. So one of the questions is just dream job question mark. Well, it would be this one, queer matchmaker, event organizer, and general queer love doctor. But I'd love to one day have a space to have all of the events in, to do my client work in, and for other LGBTQIA plus community groups to use, and sell cheap vegan food and maybe have gigs. And I would love to have a space one day. That's kind of like the dream of this job. And if I wasn't doing this, I think I would like to be maybe an anatomy professor. You may know that before I was a queer matchmaker, multi-hyphenate freelancer, I studied medicine. And while being a doctor sounds like a living nightmare, I loved learning. I loved learning about it all, especially anatomy. And anatomy is not really something that you can do as a hobby. So if I weren't helping the queer folk of London find love and connection, I'd probably be teaching 18-year-olds about organs. Yeah. The next question, what is your favorite drink? It's funny because I was talking to a client of mine about being asked this question. I don't drink alcohol, so on a night out, my drink is a pint of soda water with fresh lime, no cordial. Because there's only so you can't drink drinks at the same speed as people drink alcohol if they're too sweet. So I always get soda water with fresh lime. And in terms of warm drinks, I love a jasmine green tea with yuzu jam. That's is always my order whenever I get bubble tea. But I found out you can buy like it's tea jam made out of yuzu, which is like a citrus fruit. It's basically like very easily dissolvable jam. And you stir it into your tea to like sweeten it and also give it that citrus flavor. The guy at the bubble tea place that I go to near me told me about it, and that was really silly of him because now I can make it at home. But yeah, those are my favorite drinks. And I think that's enough about me. Let's warm up into the queer love advice. We'll warm up with a quick love advice question, and then we'll wade through to kind of more in-depth ones. So the quick question is, why doesn't my crush like me back? Oh, sweetheart, this is tough. The first thing I would ask is, do you know that they don't like you back? Have you asked them, or are you just assuming? Because even if the outcome is the same, like even if you ask them and they indeed don't like you back, it is always better to know for sure, because then you get to be in reality and you get to be in reality with them, and that is like a connecting experience, even if the connection isn't romantic, even if it goes into more of a platonic direction. So yeah, ask them. If they're a friend, then you can tell them with the tried and true phrase, I'm starting to get a crush on you, should I kill it or not? This has worked for multiple people that I've worked with and friends. I have to credit Malva with that one. And if they aren't a friend, then how could you possibly know that you have a crush on them? Get to know them a bit more first, and you will soon crush the crush. Either you'll get to know them and you'll get closer and maybe it'll go in a romantic direction, or you'll crush the crush. In fact, that is my advice for how to deal with unrequited love in general. Take some time away if that feels needed, but aim to ultimately get to know them better. If you're like so drawn to them that you have a crush on them, that you really want to spend time with them, there's maybe a reason. There's maybe some kind of that there's things you have in common, or a potential for friendship or connection there. But when you get to know them better, you'll see all the reasons why you shouldn't be together romantically. Let them reveal to you who they are, rather than just what you've projected onto them in your kind of limerence crushing state. And that will really help with somebody who doesn't like you back. And now, finally, to the actual question, why? And the answer is always the same. It's always just, you're not their cup of tea. You're not for them. It reminds me of an Irish folk song that my mum used to sing me and my sister when we were little. It goes, let them go, let them tarry, let them sink or let them swim. They're not the one for me, nor I the one for them. Let me go and find another. I know I will enjoy. I'm gonna marry a far nicer boy. It's boy in the thing, but you could say choice to make it gender neutral. It's a strange but very useful message to instill in a young child. And I like to, that sits at the back of my head for those moments of like, we're just not for each other in that way, and it's okay to be sad and upset about that, but there's no greater meaning to it than that. It doesn't mean that you're not good enough. It doesn't mean that you don't deserve love. You're just not the one for them. They're not the one for you. And you'll find another that you'll enjoy. Hope that helps. Now for some deeper questions. So, first up, how do I know I'm dating for the right reasons? Or what is the point of dating? Well, I'll start with the point of dating. You may disagree, people have different sort of definitions, but for me, the point of dating is to seek out intimate, romantic, sexual connections. Could be one of those three things, two of them, or a combo of all three, but essentially non-platonic connections. And then there's lots of optional extras that could be sprinkled on top, optional extras that you can hope for and look for, commitment, long-term connection, other forms of support, cohabitation, co-parenting, travel, lots of different relationship elements could be involved, but I think that the basic point is seeking out a connection with another person beyond the platonic in some way and co-creating that connection and what it consists of together. Now, I think if you're wondering if you're dating for the right reasons, I would start by asking yourself, is it because of the other person that you want to spend time with them? Are you drawn to someone to date? Or is it more that you're being drawn away from something that you don't want? For example, dating someone because you don't want to spend that time alone. That's not ideal. That's really got nothing to do with them and who they are as a person. That's not, it couldn't really be about the connection between the two of you if you're just spending time with them to avoid being alone. And you don't have to be drawn to someone. It doesn't have to be like a deep appreciation for the unique light that the other person holds in their soul. Like, it doesn't have to be a super deep and all-encompassing connection. It could be something that's purely sexual or based in like one aspect of intimacy, or yeah, it doesn't have to be all-encompassing, but it is important, even if it is just a sexual connection, that you're having sex with someone because you want to have sex with them. That there is some attraction, interest, motivation for it to be a good experience for you both, that it is something that you are collaborating on, so to speak. In fact, maybe that's a good metaphor. If dating doesn't feel like a collaboration to you, maybe take a look at your reasons for doing it. If it feels like a date is someone that you have to perform for or to provide a good experience for, or if it feels like on the other side of the coin, if it feels like you are relying on a date to provide you with a good experience, provide you with a certain feeling, that's not a connection. That's more of a transaction. It's barely a transaction, really. It's like using someone as an emotion vending machine, going to them and sort of expecting something that isn't co-created, that isn't connected. It's all about the person, the connection. If it feels to be more about avoiding being alone or avoiding pain or escapism, if you feel that you're holding back your true intentions and not able to actually be present and connect with the human in front of you, have a think about if you could do with getting more comfortable on your own so that you can spend time with people because you want to spend time with them, not out of a need to avoid your own brain. Because when you have a need to avoid your own brain, that is no fun. That is something to address. Your brain is literally right there in your head. It's there all the time. So if you want to escape it, that's going to be a lot of discomfort and a lot of distraction. And your brain, or you, your brain, that you are your brain, you deserve to be held and accepted rather than to be constantly escaped from or abandoned. So to summarize, I think the point of dating is the connection you build with another person, going out looking for that connection. And if you find you're dating for another reason, take a look at that, tend to that, because you deserve to have more comfort in your own head and more happiness within dating, and more happiness in the rest of your life as well. So I hope that answers your question. So I'm gonna do another question. Oh, I'm like, yeah, I feel like I'm talking too fast. I'm gonna try and slow down a bit. Right. So the next question, this person has written us a lovely text to outline how they're feeling and what's happening for them right now. I'm gonna read through it and then I will like pick the bits out and talk about it a bit more. So here we go. At the moment, I'd love some advice on how I can feel motivated and independent when I feel just very safe and comfy with my partner. Kind of to the point where I'm not really doing anything for myself, but also I don't know if this is any good when I feel like I may just be responding to the fact I'm usually motivated because of survival mode. And because I don't feel like I'm in survival mode, I'm unmotivated. It's like I have all these dreams and I can't be asked to do anything about it. Ha 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 ha. Oh my love, I've been there. I'm sorry that peace has been so scarce in the past, and I'm sorry that you're missing your motivation at the moment. When you say it's kind of to the point where I'm not really doing anything for myself, I completely understand this way of thinking. I'll speak for myself when I say that those of us who have trouble valuing our own needs can often find it much easier to do things for other people. That motivation is as endless as the needs of those around us. It's very easy to find. When we can see someone we love with a problem or a task or a dream or a need, it's often easier and more rewarding or more dopamine-y for us to meet their need than to notice and tend to our own. It's important when you're feeling this way to remind yourself of your own value, that your needs and wants and dreams are deserving of being fulfilled. It's easier said than done, and I will get into that in a bit more detail later. But I know the person who submitted this question, so I have some more background on the situation, and I think mainly you're talking about the motivation to do kind of like creative work, to be socializing and doing like, fun leisure activities and also work. And I can tell you that wanting or needing something for yourself in these areas is enough of a reason for you to go for it. It doesn't often feel that way. Sometimes it feels like there needs to be another driving force to persuade you to, do those things, to like do that project or do that work or go to that social event. And like I said, we'll talk a bit more about finding motivation. But there is something else going on here. You say, I'm usually motivated because of survival mode, and because I don't feel like I'm in survival mode, I'm unmotivated. And I really remember feeling this way during a difficult time in my life. I wrote in my journal, I feel like I've weeded out all the unhealthy motivations to do things, and now I have no motivation to do things at all. The things still need to be done, but that isn't compelling enough of a reason for me right now. Kind of feels like maybe a similar situation. When you start to feel a sense of safety and wholeness without having to earn it with your actions, that can be really scary. If you've always run on these quote unquote unhealthy forms of motivation that I was talking about in my journal those years ago, these unhealthy forms of motivation like people pleasing, obligation, meeting the expectations of others, guilt, fear, a need to prove yourself, perfectionism, a drive to feel good enough or lovable enough, worthy enough, etc. If you've always used these as your motivations, then it stands to reason that a scenario which kind of like knocks them out of the running would affect your motivation. A scenario like finding a sense of inherent worth that doesn't have to be earned. Maybe being in this relationship gives you a sense of security that has quietened the fear in your head that's always kept you moving forwards in the past. Maybe being loved so peacefully has removed the need to prove that you're good enough, that you're lovable. Maybe having someone to talk to vulnerably with these different, areas that's helped you unpack the guilt you felt about resting in the past or people-pleasing tendencies. Maybe having someone to talk to about it has helped you unpack all of this. And it's kind of hard to just to pretend like those motivations are driving you anymore. Now, it is wonderful to find some peace from these sources of brain drama, but as well as this lack of motivation, having all of this peace, and I can't think of another word than peace, linked into your partnership isn't so good. Partners can remind us of how lovable and enough we are, well, because they love us, but they cannot be the only source of that message. It has to come from within, really, because otherwise that's too much pressure on one person and one relationship. Only feeling lovable when you are loved by that one person rests your sense of self-acceptance on their presence in your life, and that isn't stable. We can't depend on other people for a sense of self-worth because they can't give that to us consistently. So, I'll talk in a moment about how to foster that sense of self-worth while in a relationship, but first, I have a piece of practical, actionable advice that's kind of like separate from that, but you're not gonna like it. So, when you say, "It's like I have all these dreams and I can't be asked to do anything," ha 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 ha, perhaps some of the things that you were doing and the dreams that you had were there to fulfill these quote unquote unhealthy motivations. And as you move towards doing things more from your own desire rather than like what's expected of you or what's seen as impressive, some of these things just won't be on the list anymore. If it's like, without the need to prove myself to please others, I don't have enough of a reason to do this project or continue this job or career or whatever, maybe that's not something you need to invest time and effort into anymore. It's for this reason that I changed career and left medicine when the pressure to be good enough was eased and I accepted myself more. I found that I didn't want to do it enough. So I had to stop. Maybe there are some things on your to-do list that fall into that category for you, and it might be time to assess and see, are all of these things in my life things that I have the motivation and desire to do still? And if you let them go, you might find you have more energy for the things that still do feel aligned and that still do feel important and exciting to you. Oh, that's not easy though. It's not easy. And now I'm going to give you some advice on the part of the question, how can I feel more motivated and independent when I just want to feel very safe and comfy with my partner? I kind of messed that up, but you get the idea. How can I feel motivated and independent when really I just want to be all comfy with my partner? So there's three main areas to focus on. Spending more time alone, spending more time with friends, and talking to your partner about it. So, spending some more time alone. I recommend starting the next moment that you can have a good half hour chunk on your own. Start by doing a bit of journaling or thinking or, you know, kind of, I don't know how people do it that don't journal. I sometimes do voice notes to myself. Basically, have a think about this in whatever way makes it easiest for you to think, whether that's writing it down in a journal or just thinking on a walk or recording voice notes or something. And consider the following questions. How can I build more peace on my own? What motivates me in a healthy way? Like, what am I drawn to? Is it kind of like creating something beautiful? Is it, you know, I don't know, having a sense of achievement in myself, kind of like doing things that are aligned with my values? What motivates me in a healthy way? What is something nice I can do for myself today? And if it helps to kind of prompt that, it could be something I would do for a friend or something I would do for my partner, but that I could do for myself. And explore the idea of inherent worth. So this is the vibe of, I'm better than nobody else, nobody else is better than me, because humans have inherent worth and they are too complex to compare against each other. Have a think about that. Have a think about the truth of that for you. Look for ways you can remind yourself of that when you need to. The way that I've kind of put that into my brain is whenever I see a cat or like any pet really, but I think it's particularly clear with cats. I think about how they don't have to do anything to deserve a lovely warm bed and plenty of food and a lovely owner that gives them lots of cuddles. They don't have to look a certain way. They don't have to achieve anything in particular. They don't have to bring home a wage. In fact, many of them are dickheads and still get to be loved and cared for. So I've kind of made cats my reminder of inherent worth and how we all deserve all of those things. So have a sit down and journal on these areas and let that kind of guide you in, I suppose, building a more caring and loving relationship with yourself away from your partner. So the second thing, spend time with friends. Ask friends for a chat, ask for help with motivation, ask to collaborate, ask for support. This could be like co-working with someone. If there's something that you're finding it difficult to find motivation to do, talking to somebody else about it can even hype you up, just talking about the steps that you're going to have to go through to get that work done or to get that project started. Having an accountability buddy. Go to your friends for these things. But also broaden the sources of affirmation, love, and care in your life. When you pay attention to how many people care for you and appreciate your presence, whether that's like the person on the till where you get your shopping who just appreciates when you smile at them and are polite to them when you buy your stuff, to dear friends that you've known for years, notice the impact you have and the connections and all of like the positive energy flowing between you all. Notice all of these interactions and connections, like deep and superficial. Pay attention to them. It's not you and your partner in this bubble of, peace and love and acceptance. And this is the only place that love and peace and acceptance exists. There is an abundance of loving connection around you, but connecting isn't passive. You have to bring it to your awareness. You have to look for those connections. But they're there, I promise you. Come to some sort of queer community event and you will find it. And then finally, when you've spent some more time with yourself, spending more time with other people, I think it's really important to talk to your partner about how you're feeling. You may have done this already, and there is like a gooey version of this that sounds like, oh my God, I don't even want to do anything but be in your arms. I love you so much, la la la, which is cute and lovely, but also make sure to talk to them about your worries, about the motivation, and what is wrapped up in this for you. How kind of the ways that you want to address it, the worries that you have about the motivation, the different projects that you're feeling differently about. Talking about it will make it easier for you two to plan time apart to do like the first two steps of spending time alone, spending time with friends. If your partner understands what you're trying to do, that you're trying to find motivation from healthy sources, that you want to feel peace outside of the relationship as well, that you're trying to build this sense of self-worth that doesn't need to be validated by them, then they'll know why you need some space and when might be good times for you to have space and good times to spend time together. Mutual growth is essential in a relationship, and talking to your partner about the ways in which you're trying to grow and find more connection with yourself is a really important thing to do. There's a lyric from the Lemon Twigs, which is sort of making fun of the concept that many people have of dating. And it goes, I think you're beautiful. Well, isn't it strange? Stay here with me and never change. And it's just, that's just not a way that a relationship can survive. It's not natural for humans to be static. We are fluid and ever changing. And a relationship that recognizes and supports this is a good one that can last. So those are the areas to kind of like focus on when it comes to finding motivation to do things other than just chill with your partner. And I think in the question before, when we were talking about the right reasons to date, I think I want to bring some of that. I think it's relevant here as well. Of course, you love your partner, and it's beautiful to have someone that you can feel restful and peaceful with. But I know that you don't want them to become just a source of that for you. And I know that they want you to be able to access peace when they aren't there and access motivation without being in survival mode. I know that both of you will want that. You want your connection to be about the two of you and for you to be able to access peace and motivation without it being solely linked to your partner or like a survival mode thing. So let your connection be about the two of you and let peace be possible regardless of whether your partner is there. I will say it's really good that you're in a place to be noticing all of this and intentionally tending to it. You've got this, babe. I hope that this was useful. Right. That's almost everything. But I did get a few questions about events, so I will answer them quickly while I let you know about what's coming up from a whole orange. So, question one, are most of the people who come to your socials in their 20s? Well, it really depends on the event. And like there's three different events at the moment, so it depends on the event that it is and also the month. Like it really changes. For example, Farm Club and Sapphic Mix and Mingle tend to have a broader range of ages, and this does shift about every month. My advice, if you're not in your 20s and you're worried about being surrounded by people in your 20s, I understand the fear. My advice is to come along anyway. There is never a guarantee that your perfect match will be there, even if everybody else is the perfect age for you. The important thing is to show up and connect with the people who are there. You never know where connection will lead. You know, making friends with one of the 20-year-olds might lead to, you know, being introduced to an event that you go to and you meet people there that are more aligned with you. Yeah, you never know where a connection will lead. And the more people you meet, the more people you meet. And the higher the chances you'll find the connection that you're looking for. I will say that I get loads of messages like this from folks in their 30s, 40s, and older. And if everyone who messaged came to the event, then there would be a lot of you to meet each other. So, that being said, I am planning a 35 plus sapphic mix and mingle in the new year. That will be at the Vagina Museum, and the details will, I'll tell you about it. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Question two, will you be doing more daytime, weekday meetups or events? I missed the last one, but this is something I'm very interested in. So, Queer Farm Club is a lovely daytime into evening event. It's from 3 till 7, and like the kind of there's a social part from about 3 until 5, and then after that we eat a big community meal together. So you can do plenty of socializing and connecting without staying to the end if like it has to be purely daytime. The next Queer Farm Club is this Sunday. It's always the last Sunday of the month, so Sunday the 28th of September at Spitalfields City Farm. You can arrive anytime after 3 p.m., but it's best to arrive before 4 because that's when the gates are open, so nobody has to come and open the gate for you. Then the day before that, on Saturday the 27th, from 12:30 until 2:30, is the Communication in Dating Workshop as part of the series, the Queer Zine Dating Workshops. You don't have to come to previous sessions in order to join this. It'll be 2 hours of chatting and crafting about communication and dating, led by me. And we'll talk about everything from asking people out to deep emotional conversations later down the line in dating. So if you'd like some help with that, come along and you can get your ticket for a tenner with the code TENNERTICKET, all caps, no space, all one word. And of course, we have the Sapphic Mix and Mingle at the Vagina Museum coming up. It will be on Thursday, the 9th of October, and the Dalston Superstore monthly Mix and Mingle is on Wednesday, the 15th of October. So get yourself a ticket for that if you're free. There's gonna be, In November, the Sapphic Mix and Mingle at the Vagina Museum is specifically for people on the ACE spectrum. So have a look on OutSavvy and get your tickets for that if that's you. And I've also got two very exciting events that I'm actually not allowed to talk about yet. One of them is for Christmas and one of them is for Valentine's Day. So I love planning things in advance. I can't wait to tell you all about it, but for now I'm waiting for the plans to come together. So I'll have to wait. If you'd like to work with me on a one-to-one basis for dating support, I do have some slots left, only 3 slots left. So book a tester and we can talk about whether you'd like, well, what would be the best way to work for you. But yeah, book soon because I'm about to be full. And as always, all of the things are linked in the link tree. So have a look, I'll put it in the show notes. Yeah, all that remains is for me to take a moment of gratitude, which I'm trying to do intentionally in my life, but also on this podcast. Firstly, for Kat, who recommended listening to the radio in the morning to pace your morning routine. This has been very helpful for me while structure has been more difficult to find. Second gratitude is for the existence of BBC Radio 6 Music. And finally, some gratitude and thanks to the Blind Boy podcast. I have been listening from the start once again, and it has been a great comfort to me during my heartbreak. It's also so lovely to hear how much more sure of himself. The Blind Boy podcast is like a podcast with lots of hot takes and mental health episodes and interviews and stuff. And it's really lovely to hear him become more sure of himself since the start, which I've noticed since beginning again. In the early episodes, there was so much apologizing for going on rants and having tangents, even though that's literally the whole point of the podcast and the reason why people like it. But yeah, it's been very encouraging as I try and get more consistent in my own podcast. And I've decided it's now a career goal to have a conversation with him on his podcast. So we're going for that ambitious crossover. Finally, the emoji for the episode. So this is what I would like you to comment below on the Spotify app or on the Instagram post. The emoji for this episode is the hug emoji. So post that to let me know that you listened to the end. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next week. Hopefully. I'm intending to see you next week. Yeah, lots of love. Bye.